Hello, and welcome to another episode of the Nintendo Entertainment Podcast, the only true NEP out there. I am your host, Triforce Todd, and joining me today is Wario Will.
I know we're currently preparing for another storm, that's a cold storm coming our way, but there's another storm that's brewing right now, and I gotta say it's this.
People beware, we have waffles.
Yeah, baby! You got staying right, Will. Ah, and joining me also is the guy who's literally getting pancaked right now, Talia Styler.
I'm gritting my teeth. I have big news to announce, so I will no longer be a part of the Nintendo Entertainment Fest. I cannot associate myself with people who prefer waffles to pancakes. I can't do it. And you, dear listener, if you prefer waffles to pancakes, please just stop following me. I don't want you in my life.
He's so mad that he's going staticky. It's terrible.
Oh, I hate waffles so much.
Just, all right, calm down. The new Splatfest was announced not long before the podcast was started, so that will be our main event for next week, pancakes versus waffles, so stay tuned for that. But we got a lot of other stuff to talk about today, because it's a really big podcast. But we're going to start off with, what have you been playing? You know what I've been playing? I've been playing the Staying Freaking Warm game. Oh my gosh. I am literally in smack dab in the middle of the polar vortex, as they've called it, and because I live in Illinois. So I have been fighting, you know, negative 17 degree weather, negative 14 degree weather. We apparently got down to negative 40 during when I was sleeping one night. I don't know. So my playtime has honestly been a little limited, but I have played, of course, Super Smash Brothers with the addition of Piranha Plant, which we'll get to a little bit later, and then I've been playing Fire Emblem Heroes,
mm-hmm.
where we had the Duma banner.
Which was surprising.
I did not get Duma. I spent like, I don't know, 100 or so of my 300 some odd orbs that I had, and I got Levantine. No, not her. I got, who was her sister? The older one.
Lejarne.
Yeah, Lejarne. I finally got her, like the regular her, and then I got Klein, who I appreciated, mm-hmm. and then I got another low key, so you know, I'll merge her together. Two low keys. That's, yeah. but yeah, so I'm waiting because I know that they're gonna hopefully do another banner soon. Then again, we are getting really close to Valentine's Day, so.
Oh yeah.
Yeah.
Right.
We'll see how that goes, but.
Hey, remember last year's Valentine's Day banner was very good. It was very tasteful.
That,
I loved
true.
It.
It's true. And I will never forget the conversation between Lynn and Hector. He's like, what would you bring to this fight? Armods.
Yes.
I fear for any suitor who comes after Lilina.
That's
honestly all I've been playing because I've had no time because I've been trying to, you know, stay alive during this polar vortex. So yeah. Oh, and there was wrestling over the weekend, so that was like all my time.
Right, WrestleMania is coming up soon, with Royal Rumble. Yeah, right.
All right, how about you, Will?
For me, yeah, as well, playing Smash Bros. With Piranha Plant, and again, we'll be talking about it, but he is a heavy hitter, but also very vulnerable to weakness, but that's all I can say about him right now. Also been playing on Fire Emblem Heroes, and also, just compliment on that, there's also a new voting gauntlet, and Sons and Mudders. And right,
cool.
For me,
okay.
I'm supporting
a...
I'm just gonna be supporting Owain. I gotta love Owain.
I went Corrin.
I went Leaf. Life. Whatever his name is.
Really? We all went different.
Yeah, no, wow. I find that fascinating.
Yeah, I like that Corrin alt, actually. Like, I didn't like that he was released, like he shouldn't have been. They should have given us actual new characters, but I really do like the design. The artwork's really cool on that Corrin.
Mm-mm-mm. Right. And yeah, I just want to say again, Radiant Dawn, go Owain. Hopefully he gets it. So yeah, I've been playing that. And finally, my topic just came out. I just posted on Twitter. Kingdom Hearts 3, baby. And it's so beautiful.
I hate you. I do not have a PS4. I was begging my friends on Facebook to give me their PS4, and for some reason they all said no. Like,
gosh,
come on.
Terrible
PS4.
Yeah. But all I just got to say right now, just quick impressions, it is so good, Todd.
I know, I'm going, I will break down eventually, and I will get one. It's just right now, my con season is about to start up soon, so I can't spend, you know, what would it be at best, like 260 between the two? I just can't spend it, because I gotta get ready for cons, and maybe if I get a big tax return, you know, but I, in all honesty, I am happy you got it. Our dear friend, Daisy Delilah, she has it.
Yeah, most of the crew here in the Outer Haven is currently playing Kingdom Hearts 3 right now. So.
Okay,
now,
I did not need to hear that. Okay,
I did love the viral like short video of somebody who was holding Kingdom Hearts and then he throws it aside. Piranha Plant.
Yeah,
that was great.
Yeah, that was fun. Whoop.
right.
But I wish you all the best. Just remember for the foreseeable future. No spoilers, just like I did not spoil Breath of the Wild for you when I was waiting 2 years for you to beat it. You will now wait. You will now give me that courtesy, Will, and not spoil anything for the next 2 years. All right, Tyler, how about you?
I have been playing Smash, of course, but I've also been playing A Child of Light by Ubisoft. I really like in that game. I'm pretty close to the end. I think it's very short, but I like the combat's really, really cool. The way it works, you have a speed stat that affects how fast your character moves up this meter at the bottom of your screen, and then once you get into this casting zone, you can cast like short spells, medium spells, or long spells, and it slows your speed down. And you can interrupt the enemy while they're casting, and it'll send them back on the timeline. So it's kind of cool way to do turn-based battles. It's kind of easy so far. I mean, I'm playing on hard, and I haven't had any near-death experiences yet, and I'm pretty close to the end. But it's very artistic. I appreciate what Ubisoft was going for with the game. It has an indie feel to it. You can tell a lot of care went into making the game. So I'm having a lot of fun with that. It's pretty cheap. I would check that out if you haven't already. I mean, you probably haven't. It's a pretty neat title. But yeah, no, outside of that and Smash, I have not been playing a whole lot of anything. I did get a couple Lagoos in Fire Emblem Heroes. That was exciting.
Who'd you get?
On the last day, I got Leanne. Wanted Grayson so bad. I swear to you, I had one green orb. My percentage was like up to 5%. I could not get a 5-star for anything. And I wanted a green orb. So I just wanted Grayson, and they never gave me a green orb. I may have gotten one the entire, like, I mean, I must have summoned on that banner like 20 times. It was so frustrating.
Yeah, join the club, man. Join the club. I mean, I'm just kind of sad my Nayla is a minus attack, which is now only like a 42 tops attack at 40. But heck, I'll take 3 out of 4.
She's so strong, too, and
epic.
That she is. That she is. I mean, I'm just very happy I actually pulled a Duma. And,
Duma, nice.
Yeah, I posted on Twitter, and just, like, his ability, it seems like he's, like, another great dragon, but the only thing is going to be very good. There was a picture on Twitter I saw. I was like, which one's going to win? Duma or Washbuckets from Hinoka?
That's stupid.
Yeah, it's just hilarious. Like, any anti-dragon weapons is going to kill Duma.
Yeah, I was really happy that they added Duma, though. That was a good... That's what Hero Should Be is about. You know, Todd and I wrote an article on it. That's a really cool... That's like you never get to play as you. We've never. I don't even know if we've seen young Duma.
No, we haven't. This is completely new arc. We saw Mila via the cutscenes, but we never saw the form of Duma.
Right. So. And I mean, this is it's a cool crossover with Echo. So I'm happy for it.
Yeah. You know, I want to just go back to Heroes because I'm playing the Course of Tempest Trials to get more orbs for whatever's coming next. And dear gosh, the Sakura unit. In the final level, at least when I'm playing, is such a pain. Like, it doesn't matter who she's facing. It's just she does, like, so much damage. And even when I use Takumi, who has been, like, a godsend for me in this one, she's just so dang strong. She can take out my Brave Ike in, like, 2 hits.
Yes.
It's insane. Yes. So, and of course, because of Psychic, she heals, like, them so dang well. She's like, ugh. But whatever. Well, given everything that's happened in this last week, okay, we joke about this a lot on NEP, but, you know, the one true NEP. We have this kind of weird curse going on with us to where big things will happen the day after we do the podcast. And sure enough, the biggest thing of the last week was Metroid Prime 4. And we're saving that for our main event tonight, and rightfully so. And then, week is going on, light news, decent news, and then bam, today everything drops. It's just like, okay. So we got a lot to talk about. So it's time to go down the warp pipe. All right, we're going to start off with a rumor that's been circulating conveniently after some of the big news that's happened today. There is another rumor going on that there is going to be a new, cheaper, smaller model Nintendo Switch coming this year. Tyler, you were the one who saw this one, so go ahead and break it down.
So right now the report comes from Neki. It's a Japanese gaming website, and they are saying the smaller Switch will arrive some point in the 2019 financial year. So that's April 2019 through March 2020. And they're going for the younger market. This kind of seems like what they want people who were playing the 3DS to kind of take that next step towards. Some of the concerns that people have about it and the potential of it not being real is the fact that the Joy-Cons, if you're doing a Switch Mini, a handheld only, and you want it to be easy for kids to carry around, you're probably going to shrink it. And the current Joy-Cons wouldn't fit on the screen then, which that would obviously kind of be an issue. Along with a couple other Switch accessories, it would kind of be rendered irrelevant if it, given a redesign. That being said, I do think that this makes a lot of sense if they want to put it in a cheaper model. We have had Shuntaro Furukawa come out and say that Nintendo is not looking into that right now, but that could just be marketing speak. I kind of everyone's reporting on this. So to me, that kind of gives it more credibility. Admittedly, everyone also reported on Star Fox Grand Prix, and we have still not heard anything about that. So this could be a whole lot of nothing. But that's the general gist of it. It's a Switch targeted for younger audiences. I would probably imagine it would probably skimp out a little bit on expensive parts in order to kind of get a low price point.
It's just, I mean, if this was kind of like the 2DS kind of thing, like where you didn't have the whole, literally the whole thing was that it doesn't bend. I mean, I could see, but what are you going to do that with the Switch? The only thing I could think of is you don't do the Joy-Cons. I mean, like, you don't have them removable. It's just you have to play them in tablet mode, which, okay, but really need this? I don't
Then
know.
it's not a switch.
Right, right,
But
right.
yeah, it's literally not. I mean, I guess you could still, like, put it in the port, No, actually, you couldn't because you needed to detach the Joy-Con. So yeah, what
Right.
is it? I don't know. What is this? What year is it? I
I
don't
mean,
know.
they would just call it the Switch Mini or the Switch, something like that. They wouldn't give it a different name because it is still a part of the Switch line. But yeah, it would not be a great name.
Yeah, I'm just kind of wondering what you're gonna do with a Switch Mini. I mean, it's basically essentially it's the point of being a smartphone, but like a mini Game Boy console now. I'm getting reminded of. Like, Brett, bring it with you, sure. That'd be good if it fits in your pocket, a la smartphone-wise. But can you really call it as a Switch? I mean, yeah, playing full console games on that small thing. I mean, that's kind of like what the smartphone does. And the normal size Switch is like it's perfect size, I feel like. So why shrink it down to like I don't know, perhaps cut the cost? I don't know. It really is questionable for me.
I don't know. It's just, again, this is just a rumor right now, and we should take it as that. And like Tyler said, and we talked about this a couple weeks ago, there's no the head of Nintendo said that they are not looking into this, but I don't know. We'll just have to see. Hopefully they clear this up because they clearly don't need to do this for sales for reasons we're about to get into.
Well, we'll see. I mean, because maybe their internal data shows that they're not hitting younger kids as much as they would like to, and I could definitely see that's really what this would appeal to is either super casual gamers who are just like, well, $300 is too much for any gaming device, or more likely parents who were like, my kid would break the Switch, but they won't break this, or if they do break this, it costs $150, so it's not as bad as paying $300, you know.
True. True. Okay. Well, let's talk about the financial briefing numbers. It only took them an entire month to get this to us. I mean, I've honestly been waiting for weeks, and that is not a lie, to figure out where the Nintendo Switch was in terms of hardware sales, software sales, where all the games were at. Okay, so here's where we're at. At the beginning of October, okay, which is a lifetime ago, my gosh, the Nintendo Switch was at 22 million units sold, give or take. As of the December 31st, 2018, 32 million Nintendo Switches have been sold. So they sold 10 million in 3 months. Dang.
Yeah, the holiday was insane.
Oh, yeah, Black Friday and the Christmas season was great, no doubt. So that puts them at, according to the people who actually care about this stuff, this puts them like on pace with what the Wii did. Or is, you know, during its run, way ahead of PS4 and obviously Xbox One. Dear gosh, it could catch, by this time next year, it could surpass the Xbox One. Because the Xbox One's only at 40 million. Think about that.
Yeah, that's crazy.
That is crazy.
It probably, but, and given the games that are coming out, it probably will.
Yeah. So... Yeah, you're right. The games this year would be another big plus for the Switch. But so 32 million, which is huge. And then the software numbers so far, they've sold 163 million software units on the Switch. That is pretty dang impressive. So I think that despite the more sparse nature of the software releases last year, the year was still incredibly successful for the Nintendo Switch. And we haven't even talked about the games, because obviously there have been some new additions to the bestsellers list. All right, the new number one best-selling Nintendo Switch title is Mario Kart 8 Deluxe at 15 million. Mm-hmm. For a port. All right, that just shows the popularity of Mario Kart. Odyssey.
Yeah, Mario. Go ahead. Hold on, just fun fact about Mario Kart 8 Deluxe. It sold over 1,500,000 copies in December.
Really?
Like, yeah. It's pretty good. They released chart per 1,000 units of the four big evergreens: Splatoon 2, Odyssey, Breath of the Wild, and Mario Kart 8 Deluxe in the briefing, and it's staggering how well these year plus old games continue to just chug out. It's wild.
I mean, it's just, I was honestly surprised, because if you recall the last briefing meeting, Odyssey was still in the lead. So not only did, you know, Kart Deluxe catch it, it beat it by nearly 2 million. It's about like 1.5-ish one right now. So, dang. That's a lot. Again, I didn't see that 1,500,000, you know, sales in December. That's incredible. Which just goes to show that when it comes to the now, I guess, top 5 games you should get when you're buying the Switch, everyone goes for Mario Kart Deluxe.
Yeah.
Oh,
I mean,
it's,
you know,
a great
the one
game.
Title that released this December is gonna blow by.
Yes.
That.
Yeah. So let's just keep going. Let's just keep going. So number two is Super Mario Odyssey at 13.76 million, which is still very impressive. And then this game, what's it called? Super Smash Brothers Ultimate. Yeah, I think I've heard of that. 12.08 million in less than a month. And I say less than a month because, remember, at least on the 7th, which is one less week, it sold 12 million units in less than 4 weeks. What the heck? I mean,
yeah, I mean,
dang.
I'm just so happy for Sakurai. Like,
oh,
like,
so am I. Out. Oh my gosh.
Sorry, Will, did I cut you off?
No, you're good.
Oh, man. I don't know. It's just, this is so cool. You know? We all knew it was going to do well. I mean, I remember, Tyler, though, you were kind of hesitant when I said 5 million in the first week.
Yeah, and I was. I mean, I think in the end, I thought, well, maybe that's accurate given Pokemon sales, but that's just so many games.
Yeah. And so, but hey, now we got, you know, 12 million in less than a month. And you know that January, oh, granted, I don't expect another 12 million in January, though that would be cool. But I would be very surprised if we weren't closer to like 14 million by the end of January, just because, you know, people are still trying to get Smash Brothers. So
it's still always at the top of the Japanese and European charts every week.
Yeah. So props to Sakurai. You did awesome, man. Give us our other DLC characters, which we'll get to in a second. But moving on down the list, Legend of Zelda Breath of the Wild is almost to 12 million and is over 12 million if you count the Wii U numbers. And then here's a good one. Pokemon Let's Go Pikachu and Eevee, when combined, 10 million units. Most impressive. Most impressive. And then
all the big franchises, man. Like every single one of them has been a mega, mega hit.
Oh, but I'm not even to the biggest surprise yet. I would say that, you know, Smash Brothers was a surprise, but not the biggest surprise. Same with Pokemon. The next biggest surprise comes two entries later, because after Pokemon Let's Go is Splatoon 2 with 8.2 million, Super Mario Party, 5.30 million. Are you kidding me right now?
It's definitely surprising, but yeah, Super Mario Party doing this well, even though it has its fair share of faults, it's kind of shows that it doesn't matter. This game is fun when it comes down to it. In playing on the Switch, yeah, it just only adds to it.
It's really the popularity. One of my big takeaways is just how much a cool product makes up for the shortcomings of, like, for the Switch. Last year's releases up until Ultimate, none of those games were a resounding, this game is amazing, really need to play it. They were all kind of like, well, good, this is decent, like, it's fun. But people they crave games on the Switch just because the Switch is such a cool and just well-executed piece of hardware. That's really where all this is coming from. I mean, you look at the Wii U era, there was a lot of games, like when Bayonetta 2 came out, it was one of the greatest action games of all time, and it just didn't really sell well because nobody was interested in the product. But people are just, they're enamored with Switch, and even being 2 years after release, it's a testament to the product.
Yeah. Oh my gosh, it's just, this is so insane. And I mean, just continuing going down the list, we have 1-2 Switch is almost at 3 million. Mario Tennis Aces, which is a big one, is at 2.5. Kirby Star Allies is 2.42. Donkey Kong Tropical Freeze, 2.08. For some reason, I think this was just an oversight on their part, they didn't put Xenoblade in there. And we know that from the last numbers, it was over 1.5 million. So I just put it in there.
I think they were just like, Xenoblade is such a bad game. That
Shut up. And the reason I say it's an oversight is because the next one they put was ironically Octopath Traveler, which for whatever reason they didn't even include the Japanese sales numbers. They just put 1.08 million for, I guess, the US and the UK, I guess. I don't know. But and then Nintendo Labo and Captain Toad Treasure Tracker. 1 million units sold. Dang. Wow. So yeah, I would say that the Switch has done very, very well in 2018.
Yeah, even though it has been considered like kind of a bit of a slow year, granted the first half of 2018, it just kind of, yeah, I'm really, really surprised that the latter half, it pretty much helped the Nintendo just sustain itself, even though it like only served the half of the year. So yeah, props to Nintendo.
I mean, you look at that, it was just under 10 million consoles sold in that last quarter. Over the holiday season, you can't say enough how powerful having Pokemon and Smash Bros, those two super strong, iconic IPs coming out at that time of year, it's a guaranteed success. I mean, I would never have expected this level of success, but it was at 67% or so of the total year sales in that one quarter. It's just crazy how strong those games are.
Mm-hmm. Oh man, I was waiting for this, but then I think actually surpassed my own expectations. So yeah, congrats.
Well, it's not all good news. I mean, the overall console, they cut their expectation from 20 million down to 17 million, which is a significant cut. We kind of on NEP thought that that was a really ambitious number to begin with. I mean, it's still, the Switch is below the Wii's pace, but not by a whole lot at this point. It's still their second fastest selling console ever, which is pretty crazy. They didn't live up to their initial expectations in terms of hardware sales. Software sales, they expectations, but hardware sales. I mean, they came up a little bit short.
Just a little bit, but still, I mean, it's not even close to like the failure that was the Wii U. They've almost tripled what the Wii U was done in its entire lifetime. So they shot for the moon, and yeah, sure, they didn't get this one very small expectation. So, I mean, they could still have a great January, February, March. I mean, it just depends on what's coming out and when they give us the next Nintendo Direct. Whenever that is.
So. They're dropping big news bombs without a Nintendo Direct. I'm starting to think that maybe we don't even get one in February. That would be insane.
I would cry. Yeah. So, all right, let's move on because that was not the only update. We got, yeah, you saw what I did there. Super Smash Bros. Ultimate version 2.0 with Piranha Plant. Oh, yeah. So, yeah, they actually beat their own expectations because they said it was expected to come out in February. Ah, no, we're done. Let's just put it out in January, they say. So, when you're listening to this podcast, you literally ran out of time. So, I really hope that you got the free Piranha Plant. If not, it is going to be coming as paid DLC, but there's no attachment date to that yet, so you'll just have to wait as we literally Piranha Plant you to death.
Gosh, everybody online was using Piranha. I mean, of course, it's a new character, but it was, you couldn't swing a stick without running into a Piranha Plant player when it came out. The character is really, really cool. I don't think he's good. I will come out and say I think Piranha Plant is one of the weaker characters in the game. As he should be, it's Piranha Plant. But he does have some really, really cool moves. I like the way they designed him. His side B is he spits out a poison gas that just racks up damage. If you just stand there in it, you're looking at 60% just from this poison gas. So if he spits it at you and he gives you, there's nothing you can do. You are taking a ridiculous number. There's no hits done on it, so you can always just walk out. But hence, you can't just walk out. I like how they kind of combined all the Piranha Plant variants into this singular Piranha Plant. I like his neutral B spits the spike ball up, and you can, if you depending on how you time the ball, whether it's moving up or down, depends on how far he tosses it. So you can use that for edge guards. It's a pretty cool character, but I think the coolest one of the greatest things is the Palutena's guidance conversation that Will showed us.
Yeah, I mean, this was definitely, it's one of the more unique characters, and it took me, I mean, I couldn't play online because I was at my parents' house, you know, staying warm, and they don't have Wi-Fi, so I was just spending the night, like, training, and I did, like, a classic mode. Oh, before I forget, do not play All-Star mode with Piranha Plant, because apparently there are cases where if you do, you could lose all your data.
Yes. There was a bit of a report regarding to that, and I'm not sure if it has been confirmed, but regardless, just be careful when you're playing with that mode. Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
But I played classic mode and I was fine. That one was a really weird classic mode because I had to keep fighting like pairs of characters, but okay. It's a very unique character in terms of moveset. Tyler's already talked about it, but of course the down B is you can retract. You could tip the pot.
Yes.
That is the coolest thing ever. I give that guy or gal a raise, whoever thought of that idea of, you know, being able to move the pot to angle your shot. That's brilliant.
All right. And yeah, that down B is just, it hurts. It has reach.
Yeah.
But I also noticed also has some great weaknesses. Like if you do miss, you can actually get grabbed out of that animation. Yeah. If you basically just barely short of it, they can grab the bow of the Piranha Plant. And yeah, you're pretty much open there.
It's
yeah,
so risky, though. Like, I would never go for that. Just given how powerful the move is, too.
I don't know. I thought it was a fun one. I actually did full reach extension one time, and my opponent timed it perfectly and hit me, like, right as I was at full extension. I was like, wow, that was great timing. But I also like its B up is like propeller plant.
Great recovery.
But you know, it's definitely a character you're gonna need to get used to because it does not play like most of the other characters, which is good because this is no doubt why Sakurai wanted Piranha Plant in the game because it's such a unique moveset for this kind of a character. And summoning PD Piranha was hilarious the first time I did it. Because again, I wasn't playing online, so my Smash games had items, and so just summoning Piranha or PD Piranha as I'm like dancing under it was hilarious. So, yeah, and then the victory animation.
Oh, that's so.
Oh
good.
Yes.
Biting Mario's rump.
Yeah, Mario runs in and tries to jump over it. And Piranha jumps. All of his victory animations are good. All of his animations in general are great. I love his characters. It's a Piranha Plant, but it has so much personality. They did an excellent job, kind of making this joke character into something that's actually kind of like he's really really cool.
And yeah, just also for details, like has anyone here saw the Palutena's guidance of PD Piranha Plant? Oh my lord!
I tried to set you up with that earlier. You didn't jump in on it.
I never want to hear Piranha Plant for as long as I live.
Viridi, for those who haven't seen it yet, Viridi, the goddess of nature, says that she wrote her thesis on piranha plants, and she goes in a rant about every type of piranha plant ever, and it's like a minute long. And it's gold. Although Reeves' voice actress not as good as her previous voice actress.
Like, I agree.
I won't even say it's her fault. It's just like it almost sounds like she's in a tunnel, compared to the other characters. Like, she sounds like she has to yell so hard just to be kind of heard. It's not amazing. But there were some good Easter eggs in there. They had Super Mario RPG reference. They had plenty of Paper Mario. Of course, they talk about PD Piranha. So it was very good.
Yeah.
But this is an interesting thing. Do you think they've recorded all the DLC characters? Because if you remember in Smash 4, the DLC characters didn't have Palutena's guidance conversations.
Ah.
They were just who is this? This is some like that's a new fighter or something, and then they just be a generic.
Right,
thing.
Right.
Do the voice actors know remaining five or four characters? And if so, somebody find them and draw all that information from them because they may have pre-recorded all of these already.
Maybe. Perhaps. Of course, naturally, the voice actors are also in the dark themselves. Like that, of course, NDAs and all that. But yeah, ever since the Joker's reveal, like, yeah, the voice actors themselves, they only knew until, like, I think there's like one of them who voices on Eric. Yeah, I think it was Erica Lindbeck. Yeah, Erica or one of them. Yeah, I forgot. But basically, she knew that, yeah, Joker's coming to Smash. And then, yeah, pretty much that was the same reaction when she was voicing it. Like, just that, what?
Yeah.
So, like, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Caught her by surprise.
But hey, we're missing over one of the most important details from the Viridi rant. No, actually, it was Palutena who said it. Piranha Plant's a girl.
That's fake news.
No, it's not fake news. It's a goddess who said it.
No, it's fake news, and it's because she was talking about Viridi. She said she'll hear you, meaning Viridi will hear you. Now, you can still have your mental belief that Piranha Plant is a girl. I personally do, but Palutena was talking about Viridi.
Huh. Actually, now that I think about it, that makes sense. And it will also make sense because PT Piranha is clearly a guy.
Right.
Because there's no girl named PT. Or I'm sure there could be, I suppose, but
yeah.
PT Piranha is clearly a guy's name. So.
Really? I always thought of it as a girl.
Really?
Because the Y.
Really?
Well, if it was Pete Piranha, I'd think of it as a guy.
Seriously? Dude.
But PT?
PT.
PT.
Yeah.
The Y, that makes it as feminine.
How would adding the Y make it a girl's name?
Because you added a Y to it. It's like
that's genderist, dude. Tony. Tony most times for a girl is with an I.
That's true.
That's why I'm
but
the host.
I generally adding letters makes it feminine. Like
that's genderist, dude.
Daniel
that
into
so...
Danielle. That's one example. I can think of plenty. I'm sure there's thousands of others.
That is so genderist. We at the Nintendo Entertainment Podcast do not condone Tyler's genderist attitude, nor his dislike of waffles.
Katie Perry, right. Definitely a girl.
Let's just, and I'm fine with that. I was actually fine with that. It was just, then you brought up the whole Verity thing, and now I'm thinking about it, and I'm going to have to rewatch that conversation. All 2 minutes and 42 seconds of it. Moving on. So, but yeah, but do let us know what your thoughts are of Piranha Plant, and what do you think this will mean about the Joker inclusion? Because we all thought that, what were we saying, like mid-February, because of the Smash Brothers update news thing that they gave?
Yeah.
So, could this mean we get Joker maybe early March? You don't know.
I think it's going to be a little bit of a wait until we get him. I think that we'll definitely get a date for him whenever we get a Nintendo Direct.
I agree.
If we ever get a Nintendo Direct. I think March is probably the estimate. Now, there was more than just Piranha Plant in the patch, though.
Oh, please go ahead and outline.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, they did a lot of different quality of life changes. I don't think I can remember them all, but they added, so if you press both jump buttons at the same time, you'll do a short hop automatically for people like myself who cannot hit Y and let it go fast enough consistently to short hop all the time. It's a good way to get your aerials closer to the ground. They also did a lot of character balance changes. They pretty much just buffed everybody except for... Who was the top tier that got nerfed? Or they buffed Rosalina a ton. Mega Man they nerfed a lot.
Ness.
Which I did. I'm very happy. If you follow us on Twitter, you know that I hate Mega Man, and they did nerf him into the ground. I played a Mega Man today who was trying to use the tactics that used to work. You just shoot your stupid pellets, walk towards somebody, and hit down B, and there's nothing they can do. You just get free damage or break their shield and kill them. That does not work anywhere. You can do that. It's the best. I'm very happy about that. But outside of that, they pretty much took a lot of the bottom characters. They made them stronger, and they left the top characters pretty much the same, which I think is good. I'd rather them make the weaker characters strong and the stronger characters weak.
All right. Well, let's move on to another. Surprising bit of news. One bad, one good. First off, we were talking last week about the mobile initiative and where we thought it was going to be this year. And sure enough, we got an answer in part. First up, Mario Kart Tour, which was apparently scheduled for March. I don't remember that being the case, but then again, it's been so long since you've heard news, I'm not surprised I forgot. It's been delayed to the summer. They said they want to make sure that the quality of the release is good, which I respect, because we all know what happened with Super Mario Run. So that's bad. But we also got a brand new announcement that there's going to be a Dr. Mario mobile game also coming out in the summer. And Tyler correctly guessed that last. Was it last week?
I did. I just thought it made a lot of sense.
Yeah, and it does. I mean, as I thought about it, I'm like, that does make a lot of sense. And then I remembered someone of us said it, and it was you. So. Yep. Points
shout out
to Tyler.
Me. And just for the record, I also said that they would release a Nintendo Mini. When people were talking about the upgraded console, I said, I think it's actually going to be a downgraded console. So I'm on a roll.
That's
right
not
now.
Confirmed yet. That one's not confirmed.
That's
so
true.
I give you points for Dr. Mario because you called that.
Just remember that. I'm just prepared to give me points.
I don't have to remember because you will and you'll rub it in our faces.
Yeah.
So, yeah. So, anyway, but I'm actually quite excited for this Dr. Mario game because I feel like this is the perfect no frills, you know, just gameplay title that they need. You know, Mario Run was an experiment. It failed. Heroes is great, but it's a gotcha game with, you know, very segmented story. You don't need these gimmicks with Dr. Mario. You need just good gameplay modes. Have your microtransactions. That's fine. Have online competitive modes for sure. But that's it. You don't need a story mode. You don't need anything else. Just give us the Dr. Mario we deserve, and the money will sell. The money will be made.
Yeah,
it will print money.
It's free to start. From what they said, it's going to be free to start with in-game purchases. So I'm kind of picturing it as like a Candy Crush sort of deal, but hopefully with more fun than that.
I see it. What do you think? Well, are you happy for Dr. Mario?
As far as concerned, I mean, I still remember playing Dr. Mario way back in the day, and they bring it to mobile is definitely the logical choice. Like, playing Dr. Mario on the go on your smartphone devices, like, yeah, play simple Paper Mario. I'm sorry, Dr. Mario. And I don't know how they're gonna incorporate it as a mobile. Like, how they're gonna add more to it is what I'm curious about. So, I'm fairly excited.
All right. Gentlemen. over the past 117 episodes, you guys have done breaking news stories. I have a breaking news story for you!
Oh, no way!
Fire Emblem Heroes has announced the final result of the Choose Your Legends Round 3. The top...
I am not happy.
No, you're not. The top four females, just to give them all out. The top four females. Micaiah, Radiant Dawn. Camilla, Fates. Anna, from Awakening specifically. Which is kind of curious, now that I think about it. And then Robin, female Robin from Awakening. And then, let's see, hold on.
Wait, I'm confused. On the website, they said that they will combine characters who appear in multiple games. Like, so Mars votes all got combined. Anna's votes should have gotten combined.
They didn't.
And then she would pass Camilla.
They didn't for whatever reason. Maybe
no,
because
go to the website and read it. I guarantee you that's there. Anna should be ahead of Camilla.
Okay, here's how I see it.
No justice. Hold on.
Here's how I see it, and this is very true. I think the difference here is that Marth was the same character every time, whereas he's just an older version of it. Whereas
Anna's sort of a special, but her hero's version is the one that has 13. So that's her. It's in ninth place.
Yeah.
And her hero's version is just like her awakening version. Like they're pretty much the same personality.
They're kind of not. So I think they're technically two different characters versus Marth, just appeared in multiple games.
It's a multi-universe. Yeah. So there's a lot of Annas.
That's literally been established that the Annas from these other worlds are not the Anna from Heroes.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
I know.
Yes,
I still think
Annas.
They should have combined. I mean, her personality is the same across all these.
But moving on, the guys, the top four guys are Alm.
All right, that's
good.
Though.
Happy
I voted
about.
For Alm. So.
Ellawood, Blazing Blade.
Wow.
Marth from all the games. And then Kromp.
Yeah, I mean, Marth was in second, and then just the Ellawood push. I saw on social media there was a huge push for Ellawood with a lot of, good art with Lynn and Hector cheering him on. And I was like, man, I kind of want to vote for Ellawood now. We already have a lot of Marth, so I'm cool with him getting
here's,
third.
Here's something
hey,
I don't
you got
know.
A legendary, so I'm jelly.
Here's something...
I voted for Alm, actually, every time, so...
Here's something I find odd. Number seven for the guys is Leaf, or whatever you call his name. The resurrected evil general... from the underworld. He's number seven because reasons.
Kind of strange. It's definitely how these new characters from Heroes are getting such great popularity.
Veronica was one thing because I think people were just curious what they would do with her. We all know why Loki got picked. And, but why? And I'm looking at all the ladies. There you go. Number 19 for the ladies is Thrasir, the other resurrected general. So it's just okay, why? So I don't know, but these are our top two. It's the top two from the males and the females. So it's gonna be Alm and Ellawood, and then Micaiah and Camilla, because gosh.
Hey, don't hate.
No, I hate Micaiah, but I mean the Camilla thing is just because of the article me and Tyler wrote. It's just we knew this would happen, and
Speaking of which, our prophecy came true. Reddit?
Yeah, our prophecy became true, Tyler. We are
curiously, how was that on the Reddit forums? How was the feedback?
I don't know if I ever made it. I think Koopa Keith or somebody put it on it because we didn't, and it got it exploded. So I don't want to know because I don't want to get attacked. But yeah, I'm pretty sure we got attacked.
we were eloquent in our argument. Yeah. I'm standing up for us here.
Oh yeah, I mean I defend what I said. My point was that there are more characters than just Camilla and Darja, and I'm right, and this proves it. And so, and ironically, both I would say Micaiah is definitely one of the more elegantly dressed main female characters. So there you go. Tact. I mean, she has tact in style, not tact in personality, because she insulted Ike, and that's unforgivable. So yeah. But there you go. Those are the results of the Choose Your Legends. So
depressed that they didn't combine Anna's votes.
It's multiple Annas.
I know. You don't have to. But you have to look at the actual. When you think of Anna, you don't think, oh man, this was Anna X. Or this is that's Anna. She has the same personality in every game.
They're different Annas.
Okay. And did you think about it like this? Okay, I want you to picture Anna with her sword from Awakening, okay? Okay.
Uh-huh.
Now Okay, so you have her in your left hand. And now I want you to picture Anna with her axe from Heroes in your right hand, okay? If we were to turn these Annas into food, one would be pancakes, and one would be waffles. They're similar, and yet they're totally different.
No, yes, yes, it's pretty much a nurse
joint.
They're the
same. Will's just standing up for Camilla because he's a Camilla fanboy.
I'm pretty sure we all know why Will likes Camilla, Tyler.
Fire Emblem Warriors, and yep. Also, it's pretty much basically as a Nurse Joy and Officer Jenny situation here, you know?
It is, but when you see the Nurse Joys, you're not like if you were to vote, like you wouldn't have to vote for Nurse Joy 58 if you're voting for your favorite Pokemon characters. You would vote for Nurse Joy.
No, Brock would argue with that. Thank you, Brock would argue with. You can tell
let's
the difference.
Just, let's just stop. Make it stop. Okay. We will keep you posted on when the legendary heroes, or sorry, the brave heroes will arrive. It'd probably be June. I think they usually go like 2-3 months to build it all up. So moving on to Will's favorite piece of news for the week. Now second to Camilla being a brave hero, dear gosh in heaven, Persona Q2 has officially been announced for the West. Will, take it away.
Yes, so far they have finally released a release date for Persona Q, New Cinema Labyrinth for coming to the 3DS. It is now officially slated for June 2nd of 2019. They also released an edition regarding to a special edition which includes an outer box Nintendo and a game, a set of four buttons, an art book, a deck of playing cards, and a 5-inch Koromaru plush doll, which is pretty nice little detail. I believe the price is going right now, I believe is at $70 total right now, last I checked. But overall, we finally got the news that Persona Q2 is finally coming. However, there is one little caveat, and this is confirmed on IGN's article talking to Atlas. The game itself will be coming in with Japanese tracks with English subtitles. There currently is no plans of having the English dub casting for this game, which kind of dampens the excitement for me, because the last game, Persona Q, they had the cast of both games, Persona 3 and Persona 4, coming to this game, which, as you know, Atlas has always been top quality dubbing. So for them not bringing to Persona Q2, granted, I can understand, because again, we discussed this here at the NEP before we started, is basically like, how it definitely would be a chance to bring in all three voice casts to this game, which is definitely an undertaking and probably would be heck on the VA budget. But I would have liked to see like these three main casts just come together again for this game, because it's just pure fan service. It's like the first game itself was already fan service enough to have this game have all three in English dubbing. Like, yeah, I mean, again, we just got off from the recent release announcement of Joker being in Smash, so why not have this thing have English dub casting? I mean, I can understand why, but again, I'm sad, but I can understand. But yeah. Yeah, so right now, there's no plans for an English dub casting for this game when it comes out on June 2nd. But here's hoping, maybe there's hope. Perhaps they'll release a DLC, perhaps sometime down the line, who knows. But I really want this game to have an English dub casting. It's pretty much a BlazBlue Central Fiction situation again. But, I'm just happy it's coming over on the state side.
Well, it's certainly interesting. I know a lot of people were curious about, if it would come over, because it's very much a Japanese style game, even more than Persona is regularly. So that's good to know. And technically, this does give a cop out for Joker being on a Nintendo platform before Smash Brothers. So following the third party rule, but. Yeah, I mean, I know that the people like you, Will, who have enjoyed Persona and enjoyed all its forms will enjoy this. So, props to that, and we'll just see how it turns out when it comes out. So keep us posted, Will. All right, and now for my favorite story of the week. I don't know how this started. I had to look it up, but there has been a movement, ladies and gentlemen, in regards to Mortal Kombat 11. If you think that there have been some weird suggestions for Super Smash Bros. Characters to come in, yeah, they all got topped in 1 week. Because there is a movement going on right now to get Shaggy from the Scooby-Doo franchise in to Mortal Kombat 11. Now, I know what you're thinking. Oh, so this is just some random fanboy nonsense. No, it's so much more organized than that. So what happened was that this artist made a version of Shaggy in not Mortal Kombat style, but Dragon Ball Z style, like, you know, the animated hair, glowing energy, glowing eyes, all of that. And people got it in their heads that, hey, maybe we should put Shaggy into Mortal Kombat. And so this all started going around, and these memes started to pop up, and then someone went to change.org and decided to make a petition for Shaggy to be a DLC character from Mortal Kombat 11. It's been up for only a few days, and I'm looking at it right now. It has 272,665 signatures. 68 signatures. 69. Okay, you get the point. It's rising. And I wrote this article 2 days ago, 3 days ago, and it was only at 60-some-odd thousand. So it's grown by four times that in the course of 3 days. Dang. And it's gotten so good, ladies and gentlemen, that Ed freaking Boon himself has RT'd this notion let's call it the Goku Shaggy pick, and says, high, low, mid, grab, I will mix your crap up in fighting games. And then he topped himself and decided, hey, why don't we try and get Scooby into the game as well? I love the fandom sometimes.
Oh yeah, only in 2019 this type of interaction be possible. Yeah.
I've literally said that this is the greatest news story of 2019, and I am standing by this. All right, until something, until the next great Smash Bros. DLC character gets announced, or you know, a big Nintendo surprise, or you know, I get one of my comics picked up by DC or something like that. Yeah, this is the greatest news story of 2019 so far. I mean, this is ridiculous. I mean, this is Shaggy Rogers, the biggest coward on the planet in any universe. And because one person drew him basically in Goku style, it started a revolution of sorts. And I'm watching this. It's still climbing. It started a revolution to get him into Mortal Kombat. And the memes... The memes are hilarious. They just don't stop. It's amazing. And they've even brought in like the live action cast from the Scooby Doo movies to help out with the memes, you know, still imagery. And then, I can't believe I forgot this. There was a Scooby Doo animated movie, and in the movie, Shaggy gets hypnotized. All right, and he gets hypnotized to where whenever someone says a certain word, he has no fear. And he clears out a gang of bikers in their bar.
I saw this. This is hilarious.
Yeah, and it's a real clip from the movie. It really happened, and it's just hilarious. And it's like a running thing throughout the whole movie. And so a lot of my fears were actually displaced, because you could have the gag be that this is an extension of that movie where he walks in scared, and then he says the word to hypnotize himself on accident, and then he just kicks all sorts of butt. And the fatality is he shoves Scooby Snacks down a person's throat. It's like he holds him up by one hand and he goes, "You want a Scooby Snack?" And he just like shoves it and just continues shoving and pounding the Scooby Snacks down their throat until they die.
You know, I can kind of see Will's prediction of a Mortal Kombat character in Smash coming true if Shaggy appeared in both.
Oh my god. Yes. Yes. Oh gosh.
It's just kind of odd to see like how Scooby's kind of getting that resurgence. And I mean, again, it's a classic show. I love Scooby Doo, and ever since they had that collab with Supernatural, like Supernatural and Scooby Doo, that was amazing. I mean, Scooby Doo and Mortal Kombat. It's absolutely nuts. It just might work. I mean, highly unlikely, but it just seems to work so well in a way. I don't know. It's just nuts how the world's working right now. Like, Scooby, I mean, Shaggy, in these franchises, like, what the heck?
Scooby-Doo is, like, one a big part of my life. I've always loved Scooby-Doo. I loved, you know, the original series, a lot of the spin-off series, What's New Scooby-Doo, Pop Name Scooby-Doo, almost all the movies, except for like the second live-action one. And then what I literally cried tears of rage when I saw that Be Cool Scooby-Doo series where they were like all weeded out crackheads, you know, because of their
That
body.
was, yeah, I was watching that with somebody at a bowling alley. It was on one time.
Yeah,
I don't know
that's
why.
horrible.
It was so bad.
Yeah, it was so bad. But this is like, you know, as a fan, I feel like I should be outraged by this because of the idea of Shaggy being in a potentially being like, you know, decapitated and everything. Because, you know, we're talking about what his moveset would be. This would also mean that he has to get, you know, frozen in half, decapitated, shot by machine guns, you know, have his face ripped off in front of our eyes. That's not something I want to picture. And yet, the idea that so many fans have gotten behind this, it's almost too exciting to ignore. You know, this is different than Smash Bros. Like me and or like, you know, Tyler wanting some of his character, or like Banjo-Kazooie. You know, how many of us actually want Banjo-Kazooie? We don't know, but we know how many people want Shaggy as a DLC character. And again, we're at like almost 300,000. That's a significant amount of sales. And if it's just a DLC character, like if they go like the Smash Brothers route and have it him be a special DLC character, if 300,000 people buy that DLC character, that's a lot of profit for NetherRealm. So, like this, I'm not saying it will happen. I think it's highly doubtful it will, but the numbers don't lie. And that's why it's the
Scooby-Doo,
greatest
where
new.
are you? Gotta
Yeah.
be a top five cartoon of all time.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. So, oh, man. And we all thought 2018 was a weird place. And we're now talking about Shaggy and Mortal Kombat. Oh wow. Yeah, let's move on before this gets any weirder. All right, Nintendo Direct News. We got nothing. The only thing we got is that Nintendo released a statement saying that they haven't abandoned the Nintendo Directs because of like what Tyler said, all the news coming out in the weird ways. Yeah, they're not abandoning the Nintendo Directs, which just begs to ask, where the heck are they? I'm not asking for much. I just want my Smash Brothers news. Or, sorry, my Nintendo news and Smash Brothers news. So, okay, it's 1:31 at the time of this recording. When are we getting it? Are we getting it in February? Yes or no?
I mean, yeah, we have to. But I really hope it's next week. Like, we should have gotten one by now.
I
With
agree.
the financials out of the way, like, it's time.
I agree. I was okay. I mean, now when I thought about it, you know, I was okay with them taking their time to, you know, compile all their numbers because, you know, January is like their, you know, what's called a recoup month as they, even though again they had two big releases with No More Heroes, which will you have your review up, right?
Yeah, I'm currently working on that
Okay.
right now.
His review of Travis Strikes Again, No More Heroes will be up soon. And of course Mario Brothers U Deluxe came out, so I'm okay with them saying, hey, we'll just take the month to, you know, take stock of everything. Okay, took stock. You're doing great. Bully for you. Give us our gosh dang Nintendo Direct. Seriously. Seriously. All right. Then, of course, we have, the little bit of news. The Wii Shop has officially shut down, which I didn't even know it was still open until Will told me that it was still going. So, thank you for all your help, Wii, and you know, we continue to honor you for all the greatness you did for gaming. So,
Yeah,
there
I
you go.
still remember, like, yeah, a lot of people want to like went on the Wii Shopping channel to actually get the original Super Smash Bros. 64 and other classic games. Man, I don't know if I still have like points previously. I think I only had like 200 points I think left over, but meh, couldn't get anything on that. But yeah, the Wii Shopping chat. I think everyone more or less recognized that because one, besides from the virtual console, is just like it had a great music to go with it. I mean, it's perfect shopping music. I don't know. I just feel like that background music was perfect. So like, why couldn't they put this in the Switch? I mean, yeah, I'll take a new catchy theme or whatever. And especially that buying sequence when you're downloading it, like with Mario just jumping, but like
Yeah.
confirming purchases, that was amazing. So why couldn't they do that with this touch? It's like, it loses its charm. That's what I love about the
Yeah,
Wii. Yeah.
the Switch's UI or yeah, the Switch's UI is very underwhelming, like both on the home screen and in the eShop. They updated the firmware, and I don't care what they added, I don't think anybody does, but they put in Super Mario Bros. U Deluxe icons for your profile. but they didn't put in Smash ones. Like, I want my Smash icons. That, like, just put in the Smash icons, please.
Well, let's see. Moving on. Splatfest! it is pancakes versus waffles, 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 waffles. We will debate this in our main event next week. And Tyler just muted himself. I'm sure he's shouting to the moon right now.
I was trying to disconnect, but I hit the wrong button.
Fail. That's what you get for trying to disconnect from the waffles, waffles, waffles. I'm kidding. And then last bit of news, Sakurai has delved into the Smash Brothers data and came up with some very interesting notes about the characters and what's going on with everything. Apparently, the win-loss percentages in one-on-one matches isn't that far spread between the characters. Like, the lowest one was like 40-something percent, and the highest was 60%. So,
the highest, the lowest win percentage was 43.7%, while the highest winning percentage was 56.8%. So I mean, that's not, it might seem like a pretty big gap, but that's not that bad. The best character, the top character winning only 6.8% of the time, more than 50%. I mean, that's pretty decent, I would say. But I think one of the most interesting things on here was his discussion about King K. Rool. Because he said that people thought King K. Rool is really strong right out of the gate, which is true. But we kind of came to the community kind of realized, wait, this character is actually not that good once you know how to fight him. And Sakurai addressed that, saying that the data really wasn't that great. His overall win rate in Elite Smash is 48.9%, so he loses more than he wins. But they still nerfed him in the first patch, despite that, which I think is odd.
Yeah, I found that King K. Rool one incredibly fascinating, because you're like, it's again, he seems like this character is like this overwhelming force, and apparently not. So I mean, it's just like, I guess it's like any character, you know, they seem overwhelming at first, but then you like learn their tips and tricks, and you're like, oh, that's how I can dodge it, you know, that's how I can parry and everything, that's how I get around that dumb stomach shield. And
Will, did you read this article?
No, I have not.
That's good. Okay. Take a guess at what character the most used character in Ultimate is.
Bowser?
That's not a bad guess. I was shocked. Cloud was the most used character.
Why am I not surprised?
Really? I haven't seen a ton of Clouds. I'm surprised. I wonder where that's like, just accounting offline play as well. In Elite Smash, Ganondorf is the most popular character. Which is not surprising. Everybody plays Ganondorf because he's very stylish when he uses all pretty much all of his kills are like, oh man, that was sick. So, but another cool little stat: in Elite Smash, Peach has a win percentage of 54.4%. Daisy, who has the same exact moveset, has a win rate of 50.9%. So, people who are better at the game tend to pick Peach. That's odd. I don't know why, but that's just how it works.
Well, it's just like anything. You know, you think you know everything about what's going on, and then you get stats like this, and it's like, okay, then maybe we don't know as much as we thought we did.
I would love to see who the weakest character was. They didn't tell us who the lowest and the highest percentage was. We know it wasn't Peach, and she's regarded by the pro community to be the best character right now. But I wonder who that character with the 56.8% win percentage was.
I don't know. I mean, it's almost impossible to guess, because you'd think it'd be someone, I don't know, I'd say like maybe Mario or Pichu, but then again, Pichu is, you know, apparently really good, and I would have said Wolf, but apparently Wolf is like what most Elite players use. It's like, okay then. So I don't know. I mean, with 75 characters now with Piranha Plant. I can't wait to see what the stats of Piranha Plant are.
Yeah.
You know, give it a month, you know, wait till the end of February and give us new numbers and see where we're at.
Ganondorf was 20 times more popular than the least picked character, which they didn't say who the least picked character was, but his usage rate was 20 times the amount that the lowest character was. So I would say probably like Olimar is probably like the least played character. And that's the reason I even thought of that tidbit was because I figure the character with the highest win rate is probably like Olimar, a character that nobody really uses. So when you see him, you're like, I have no idea how to fight this character. And then he wrecked you just because you don't know how to fight him.
Possible. It's possible. All right. Well, it is time for our main event. And in a news story, I don't think any of us could have predicted, and we certainly weren't hoping for this, Metroid Prime 4 has not only been delayed, it has been completely restarted from the ground up. And like, true to our curse, this happened right after the podcast last week. So what do we think about this? What are our expectations on it? We're going to figure it all out in a Nintendo discussion. Okay, so let's start off with the very beginning with how we found out about this news. Because they could have easily, Nintendo could have easily just done an announcement, like a statement, press release, saying, hey, things are going well for Metroid Prime 4. We got to restart from the ground up. We hope you understand. Goodbye. No, they didn't do that. They did a video message so that they could look us in the eye, so to speak, and reveal to us why they're doing this. Because they go, and I have it pulled up. They go, here you go. Although this is very regrettable, we must let you know that the current development progress has not reached the standards we seek in a sequel to the Metroid Prime series. Nintendo always strives for the highest quality in our games and in our development phase. So they basically said that whoever was running this, which the biggest theory was Bandai Namco, it wasn't meeting their standards. They didn't want to release a subpar game, especially after the great reception to Metroid Samus Return by Mercury Steam. And so they're starting over again with Retro Studios. Wow. Yeah. So let's start just right there. Was this the best move Nintendo could have made to at least temper the negative reaction that was going to happen? Tyler, let's start with you.
I mean, I think that the way they handled it was perfect. Releasing this candid video saying the game is not what we had hoped it would be. We're bringing it back to retro. All that was, from a PR perspective, it was a masterpiece. I mean, especially given, and I'm not trying to imply Nintendo is being underhanded here, but saying the game is going back to retro in particular is really PR speak, because the team at Retro is so different than the team that made the original trilogy that, I mean, there are some veterans, but people hearing Retro are probably it's comforting. But that being said, it's very different Retro Studios than it was then. So it might as well, it could have been anybody, honestly, who was developing the game. But yeah, their honesty here, it really, like, it lessened the blow. There's just really no other way to put it. It made people happy that they're caring about the quality, that they're focused on making sure it's a product that people really like. I didn't see anybody who was angry. I mean, I don't, did you, Will?
No, I have not. I mean, if anything else, it's just mild disappointment. And I'm pretty much in compliments with you as well. Like, because this is also during the time when, of course, everybody was basically bagging on Bethesda regarding to the new Fallout 76, and that thing was a buggy mess, and pretty much when game companies just seem to deceive the consumer. Nintendo is just that rare exception. And when they, with that presentation, they just basically were honest about their flaws. They apologized. They said they had to restart it. And I understand, they said they understand many people, many fans were wanting this game, but we want this game to do well and have that Nintendo seal quality. So I'm sorry to say this, but we are going to be restarting this project, and want to make sure that this is the best product you play. And frankly, I gotta appreciate that honesty about it. Sure, I'm disappointed that we probably have to wait until maybe 2021 or 22 now before Metroid Prime 4, but at least we know that they're doing it because they want to do it for us. They want to do us justice. So, and bring it back to Retro Studios. I mean, again, they're the daddies of the projects of the series, so good on them. I just, but the only question that kind of begs to me is basically, what was the initial project looking like from Bandai Namco that says like, nope, we're not going with this idea. That begs the question. Yeah,
I'm with you guys. This was a perfectly Nintendo way of handling this, because again, they could have easily released a statement saying, you know, two paragraphs, but then again, instead they made at least a 4-minute video with one of the heads of the company, not the head, but one of the heads, and him saying and explaining why this was happening, that Retro Studios was going to work on it again, and that they're sorry that they basically failed us, for lack of a better term, with this first draft, but that they're starting over so that we get the Metroid Prime and just plain Metroid game that we deserve. Because again, we had Samus Returns, and that was a great return to the 2D Metroids of the past, but now we need a 3D Metroid. And not the Metroid Prime trilogy, which is rumored to actually be done, and they're going to release it this year to help smooth things over. And I also hear there's a rumor of another Switch Metroid title, probably a 2D title, but still. They did this in the perfect way to say, hey, we're sorry. We're going to do this right by you, because you're the ones who matter here, and we'll get this done. It's just going to take time. And a lot of people noticed how honest and transparent Nintendo was about this. Like IGN, GameSpot, Kotaku, all of them were praising Nintendo. And I honestly did see a few mad people, but that's just, it was like the literal 1% of, you know, fans, because all of them were honestly touched by how far Nintendo went to explain why they did this. And that meant a lot to me, because again, we've been talking about this game forever. We've been wondering, you know, where is Metroid Prime 4? Why haven't we seen anything since the logo? And we were patient because, you know, development time, and we knew that they didn't want to screw this up. And now we know they really didn't want to screw this up. And so they just straight up didn't release it. And they say, hey, we're starting over and we're going back to the original team. So, you know, I praise Nintendo for that kind of honesty and that desire to make us happy, especially after all the sales we've given them and, you know, the support we've given them since the Switch launched. So, yeah. All right.
This impacts things in such a huge way. I mean, the whole Switch landscape, I think, is, I mean, I don't think it destroys, you know, 2019 like a year, not at all. But even just look at the game. I mean, they're restarting. I mean, the Retro built a demo for them, so I'm sure that, you know, it's probably a little further along than we're thinking. But this is definitely not coming out until 2021. I mean, probably 2022, which is the end of the Switch's lifespan. So you got to imagine they have a hardware update by then. Is this going to be, but well, are they going to have to develop, like, because that would affect development, I would think, as if right now they don't have the tools that they will have when the game is ready to release. They might have to have translate it from this version of the Switch to another version of the Switch. There's just a lot of loophole or a lot of issues that come up with that. And given just how long people have waited for this, I the chaos and turmoil, I do think, will affect end result. At least, I mean, it could end up being a huge positive where they have more time to sit back and reflect. Maybe the tools are better than the ones that the team at Bandai had. But I'm very interested in seeing what this final product turns out to be, if it looks like a game out of time when it comes out.
It's pretty much the situation now. It's becoming basically a Kingdom Hearts 3/ Final Fantasy 15 situation. Like, this game, we're not gonna expect it, hopefully, like, not like Kingdom Hearts 3, we gotta wait like 10 years for this game, so hopefully, like, that. It only just kind of begs the question, like, as you said, like, perhaps Nintendo's gonna be switching systems, maybe gonna change the systems, and will it be the same game? Will it be the same ideas? Like, is it gonna still remain, like, rooted in the Metro Prime series? Like, is it gonna remain that same ideology? A lot of questions that's gonna pop up, as you said. So, like, it also kind of begs the question, which game's gonna come out first, the Final Fantasy VII Remake or this game, Metro Prime 4? It's, I mean, jokingly aside, but it's just kind of gonna be interesting how it's gonna be developed now as the years goes on, because, I mean, again, naturally, we don't know if we're gonna live long enough for 2021. Who knows? But hopefully this game, like, I want this game to do good. And if Nintendo's gonna take their time with it, by all means, take your time. Because I like Miyamoto said, a rush game is bad forever, but a delayed game is good eventually.
Yeah.
So.
And IGN actually did a very interesting piece on, rebooted and, restarted games. And while there are, a bunch of clunkers like Duke Nukem Forever and some others, there was also ones like Resident Evil 4. Yeah, you didn't re a lot of people forget that that one was rebooted. And there were others that obviously had success despite their, and Kingdom Hearts obviously is, gonna be a super million seller because it's Kingdom freaking Hearts, but we've all seen that this is going to, having a even a restart isn't bad if you have the right team on it, and we'll get to the retro in a second, but I'm with Tyler. This does change things because this was one of the titles we kind of hoped would come out in 2019, 20 early 2020 at the latest, but this does change the landscape, and it puts a little just a little more pressure on Nintendo to make sure that the games that do come out this year hit with Fire Emblem and Yoshi and Pokemon, the core title, and whatever surprises that they have this year, because they just lost one of their heavy hitters. And so, whether it be with third-party titles like Bayonetta, Marvel Ultimate Alliance 3, Bravely Default 3, maybe, I don't know. They have to make sure that they hit this year to compensate for the lack of Metroid, and then next year they have to make sure that they have the titles necessary to continue carrying the Switch now that they know that there's no chance that Metroid Prime 4 is coming next year. So yeah, it's going to be interesting for sure.
This is two games too for Switch. I think both really. It was a, has there been another game that was released or previewed as early as Metroid Prime 3 was in development besides Three Houses? Because you got Fire Emblem and Metroid Prime were both announced. These are coming well before they were. I mean, they were just not even close to being prepared for release. And both of those got severely delayed. Like, this is why
Well,
you don't do this is why you don't do a CG or a JPEG image as a teaser, because you just the game was you don't know what's gonna happen.
yeah, but I mean, it's one of those things that sometimes delays just happen. Like, I was super surprised that Smash Brothers didn't get delayed. This is the first time in like two, three generations that a Smash Brothers game didn't get delayed. I was fully expecting it to happen, but it didn't. And then, in sure, with both Fire Emblem and Metroid, we got these delays, but we know Fire Emblem's coming out. It's coming out this spring, so hopefully, we're very
Hopefully.
sorry to report
I
that
mean, we
Fire Emblem
still
Three
haven't
Houses.
heard about it yet. Like, I mean, they confirmed that in the financial briefing. We didn't touch on that, but the launch windows for games, they didn't update anything. But they did say Fire Emblem still comes out in spring.
Yeah.
So I mean, that's good. We really need a Nintendo Direct. Like, we can't just drop that game in April without any build up. That just doesn't seem like a good plan. But no, it's just it's very it's funny that when Nintendo breaks the rule about not announcing games until they're kind of ready to be released, this happens.
So,
Now,
yeah,
that being said, they could have been silent about it. They could have said nothing. I mean, Reggie said back in December that development was going smoothly. It obviously wasn't.
Well, it just depends on who you believe, because the rumor that I heard, and Will slightly, and you touched on it earlier with the retro demo, apparently what was happening was is that if it was Bandai Namco who did this, they split the game up like across the world. Like, one section was being done here, one section was being done there. Some sections were running great, but then others were like dumpster fires.
Well, Reggie
And
had to know that when he made that comment. He just
I don't
wanted
know. I
people
mean,
to.
I don't know. And I'm not gonna say he did, or I'm not gonna say he didn't, because that's me presuming and assuming, and I won't do that for Reggie, because I honestly don't know all of his role at Nintendo. So we'll just leave it at that. But the fact is that apparently Retro heard about this, made a quick demo, and their demo that what maybe took a month to make, they did better than the combined efforts of Bandai Namco or whoever in the what do we want to say, like, year and a half, 18 months
Right,
that they've been working on this game. So that's kind of sad and hilarious all at the same time.
It's, yeah, and this just also brought up the topic from many other people as well. Like, I wonder how it's gonna change if this is gonna change the feelings of Nintendo letting out their IP properties like Mario and Metroid to other studios. Because it seems to me that like with this whole kerfuffle, especially with like these core IPs, I wonder if Nintendo is gonna be like have some sort of hesitance of like letting these things out freely now because of this. I mean, I'm probably overthinking it too much, but again, now with Metro Prime 4 going back to Retro Studios where it rightfully belongs, like I just wonder what else, like if they're gonna be much more wary now. Because again, let's not forget about Other M for Metroid. Ugh.
Do not speak of that game or Federation Force.
Ah, oh yeah, right.
People who like waffles really love Other M usually.
Don't you dare!
Don't you
Don't you
dare!
dare! You watch your mouth, Tyler. You watch your mouth.
That's just a fact. You know, if you're not capable of, you know, if
I
you like
like waffles,
waffles,
and I did
you
not
have
like
bad
Other
taste, and
M.
you prefer bad games. That's just a general, you know, general rule of thumb. But with retro, I want to talk about retro
Yes, please.
because what were they working on for 5 years? And do you think we will ever see what it was now that they're
Yes.
on Metroid Prime 4? Do you think it's done? Because, I mean, if it's not done, if their project is not just sitting there and Nintendo's just like, when do we release this? They still have to finish that. And that means Metroid Prime is definitely not coming out until like 2020, like, or 2022.
I honestly think that whatever they're working on will either be announced in the next Nintendo Direct or will be coming out this year at some point, whether it be the next Donkey Kong game or they're announcing that they were helping out with Mario Kart 9 or something like that. I don't know. Because they helped out on Mario Kart 7 on the 3DS. But I think that the reason they did the demo was because they realized that not only could they help save the franchise that made their name, but they were free enough that they actually had the time to commit to this. Because it honestly, that doesn't make any sense for it to happen any other way outside of their own game, whatever they were working on being its own dumpster fire, and them saying, you know, maybe we should go back and, you know, make Metroid. I don't know, but I would be very surprised if we don't find out what they were making this year.
Yeah, we have to. It's crazy that we heard that Star Fox Grand Prix rumor about a year ago, and nothing came from it, and everybody was sure that that was what was coming. So I just Retro's timeline these past 5 years has got. I hope that Did You Know Gaming comes out and has something on this at some point, because it's got to be just a fascinating story as to, you know, how they went this long without a pro. I mean, stuff must have gotten scrapped and canceled along the way. I am very much intrigued by the inner workings of Retro at this point. I mean, they're a phenomenal developer, so it seems odd
No
that they would
doubt.
be having such like not maybe not turmoil, but just, I mean, such a long period of silence.
Yes, it's clearly something. Either their development was just taking a long time, or maybe they could have been working on two games at once. We just don't know. But they clearly had to be working on something because Nintendo, especially after, you know, the success of the Donkey Kong Returns series and Tropical Freeze, you know. They know that they do good work, and so the only logical explanation is that they were working, they finished, and then they realized, hey, these other people are messing up our Metroid Prime franchise. So let's go save the day. And I mean that's what I'm thinking. And until they tell me otherwise, I don't know what else to expect because they can't. I'm with you. They're just too good to have done a dumpster fire on a new game.
Yeah.
Well, what do you think?
Like, as previously stated before, it's like I just want this game to do well, and if Nintendo's gonna be much more wary of going to how they're handling it out, it's just, I mean, again, this is kind of what we kind of fear. I mean, I would love to see other people's, like, other studios' interpretation of, like, these core Mario franchise, like, Nintendo franchises. But at the same time, and again, Nintendo is strict with their IPs and just want that seal of quality. And with this is like, again, as I said, I don't want any more dumpster fires like Other M or like Federation Droids because again, like Nintendo has been listening to their fans, they're respecting the fans, and now they want to do justice. So again, I just want this game to be good. Simple as that.
But and to Tyler, to your point, you noted that this isn't the same retro as before. You are right and you are wrong. You're right in that there have been a lot of people who have left the team from the original Prime Trilogy series, and including some of them going on to make very successful indie studios all their own. But they still have their same president, who was very much one of the backbones of the company. One of their main producers is still there. I think they said one of the composers was still there. And obviously they seem to have enough good talent to make a demo to impress Nintendo. So, and lest we forget, no one even heard of Retro before Metroid Prime. So it's not like they were loaded up with A-star talent before then. I mean, I guess they were, but we just didn't know about it. So that's enough for me to give these guys a chance.
Yeah, I'm also in agreement. It's like, while yes, the main, like, definitely the foundations of the previous titles is now come and gone, I definitely do have hope for the new teams that they will keep that original vision of what made the trilogy just that great. And heck, even there's always that influence of new blood, the new generation, to finally, like, I don't know, give something that maybe you would not expect from a Metroid Prime game. So I have some optimism for it, yes.
You know who they should have gotten to do it?
Sakurai.
Sakurai's got some time on his hands.
He needs to make Kid Icarus Uprising 2, alright?
Yes, I agree.
Yeah. Alright, so let's wrap it up with this. Now that we know that it's being restarted, now that we know that Retro Studios is, let's just say, finishing what they started, what are our honest-to-goodness expectations about this? Because clearly, I mean, it could be the game we always wanted. It could be a Kingdom Hearts 3. It could be a Resident Evil 4. It could be a Final Fantasy 15. Or it could be Duke Nukem Forever. I'm pretty sure it won't be Duke Nukem Forever, but we don't know. So what are our honest-to-goodness expectations for Metroid Prime 4 now?
For me, it's just basically, I have a feeling that this game is going to be good, to say the least. Because, like, again, now back in the hands of Retro Studios, I expect nothing but the greatest quality. I mean, if it's going to be waiting for that quality, like, after 21 or 20, even to 2022... then so be it. And I just only pray that I stay alive and long enough to actually play that game. So overall, like, I expect good things. I expect this. It's just all about the waiting now. And hopefully there's some things to keep me busy until for that wait.
I think it's going to be a much better game because of this. I mean, Metroid, I mean, obviously, you know, it's founded in Japan, but it's always been more popular here in America. I actually think it's probably good to have an American team working on the game. I do expect it to overall be a better product, or at least a better Metroid game. I think Retro understands why people in North America specifically love this series, and I think it'll be better for it.
I agree. I think that with Retro, you know, having the clean slate and knowing that they can, you know, they can do this series right, it's going to be good. It's going to take a long time, but it'll be good. And, you know, sure, it might be the, just in terms of timing placement, it might be the Skyward Sword of the Switch dynasty, but Skyward Sword was also one of the most critically acclaimed games in the Zelda series. And despite what Tyler thinks, a lot of people actually liked it, and it sold a couple million, so... And with all the hype and all the buildup and all the desire for, you know, a 3D, you know, HD Metroid game, I think it'll sell well, even if it is later into the Switch's lifetime. So I will wait patiently. I will hope and look for any and all updates that we can get, though we're likely not going to get one this year. And when it arrives, I'm going to buy it. So, yeah. And with that, we are ending this episode of the Nintendo Entertainment Podcast. Tyler!
Yes, last week we asked you when Nintendo's first mobile game was going to come out. Very prescient of us. We were all over that mobile game news was going to come out. Right. And 61% of you were wrong, because you said February or March. And summer is the window that we now know, so we'll see if the 20% of you that said April or June, maybe it comes out in late June, that would qualify. Yeah. 7% said July or September, and 12% said October or December. Shout out to the 7%. You guys are brilliant.
Yeah, I think what they'll do is they'll maybe release the first one, let's just say Mario Kart, in early June, then give it like say 2 months to simmer, and then August they'll release Dr. Mario, like early August. So yeah, we'll just have to see. All right, gentlemen, I will give you the choice of the poll today. We can either do a poll question about what people think of Piranha Plant, or we can ask people what they feel about the Metroid Prime delay. What do you think?
I'd rather ask about Piranha Plant, actually. I think we kind of know what people feel about Metroid, but
Fair
it seems
enough.
like everybody's on board.
All right, so question. What grade would you give Piranha Plant right now? A, B, C, F. There are no D's. There is only good, there's only great, good, eh, and fail. Notice how I went deeper for that? Fail. You have failed this city. But sir, all I said was I like pancakes. Yes, and as we were teasing, next week we will be doing the Splatfest war between pancakes and waffles, and it's gonna get bloody. So stay tuned for that. So for Tellius Tyler, Wario Will, I am Triforce Todd, ladies and gentlemen, we are out of time. We are not out of lives. We've made it to the end of the level, so raise the flag.